Im Mittelstand liegt die Innovationskraft Europas. Durch Interviews mit den Köpfen des europäischen Mittelstandes helfen wir mutigen Gründern, die bestehenden Herausforderungen und Visionen im Mittelstand kennenzulernen. Die Kernfrage ist, ob es nicht spannender sein kann, statt in einem Startup im Mittelstand die Welt mit dem Zugriff auf eine bestehende Infrastruktur zu verbessern. Dein Podcast-Host ist Nikolai Grabert. Vor 4 Jahren bekam Nikolai einige Investments für sein Social-Media-Startup. Die Internationalisierung scheiterte und so ist er seitdem auf der Gründerreise im Mittelstand und leitet dort Projektteams im digitalen Vertrieb. Und nun ein herzliches Willkommen zu dieser Folge im Gründerreise Mittelstand Podcast.
I'm here with Michael Braungart from Cree is the one of the founders of Cradle to Cradle or inventors of Cradle to Cradle, at least here in Germany. And I'm really happy to have you here. Welcome, Michael.
Welcome.
So we start our podcast always with the first question, which is, we are here at the Mother Earth Heroes Show podcast. And when you would imagine yourself as a hero, what is your super skill?
First of all, I think I'm in the wrong podcast because there is no Mother Earth. The most toxic chemicals we know are natural chemicals. They're at least 1 million times more toxic than any chemical any perverse chemist ever invented. Which mother would poison her child? The strongest carcinogens are still natural carcinogens. Nature needs cancer to adjust the gene pool. So which mother would give cancer to her child? Mm-hmm. So there's no Mother Earth, and we as humans are no mother fuckers because there's no mother to fuck. Yeah? So nature's our partner. The Earth is our teacher, but not our mother, because when we talk about Mother Earth, we always apologize for being here because the mother is good and we are the bad children. It's not like that. And whether I'm a hero or not, I'm not sure. I'm just a chemist, and what I'm doing needs always other people. And like Bertolt Brecht said, a country which needs heroes is a poor country. So we are all heroes. It's up to us jointly together to make a change. And I'm just there to inspire you, to give you some ideas, to learn from you as well in your questions, Nicola.
That's so interesting, because yesterday I had a podcast with Anna Kira. She is an design experience teacher at Stanford. And she said the same, similar thing, not to the thing before, you know, like that Mother Earth is poisoning us, but to the thing that when we need heroes, we are already in a fucked up situation, and that we all have to fight our inner fights to get just the best from ourselves out there in the world. So it's really, really interesting that you push the power to all the people, and there are no heroes. That's really, really cool. Love it.
Yeah, the next thing is as well, when we talk about Mother Earth, we always feel sorry and feel guilty. Mm. And we are romanticizing nature. Our natural lifetime expectation would be 30 years. You would have a lot of years to go, but I would be composed for quite a while already. So that we get older than 30 years is because of us as engineers, as medicine experts, as people who are chemists, scientists, whatever. It's about us, so we don't need to apologize. And when you talk romanticizing nature, I learned it in Netherlands. I have been teaching in the Netherlands at the European's best business school, because it's about business. It's about how to change business from the beginning. Then my apartment in Rotterdam is 8 meters below sea level. Half of the country is below sea level. If they would talk about Mother Earth, the next flood would just take them. Yeah. So it's about a real partnership, and it's about becoming native to this planet. We cannot delegate it to some aborigines. It's us being the native people of this planet. And if we don't do so, you can see it, for example, there's not one organic label in the whole world which allows that my own feces, my own nutrients can go back. Every day I need to release 2 grams of phosphate and I need to pick it up, otherwise I cannot have bones, I cannot have teeth. So phosphate is far more rare than oil, and it's mostly in our pee. Yeah, and phosphate phosphorus is P as well. So my motto is give P a chance, because we need to get phosphorus back, actually. Mm. Because otherwise there are too many people. We could just live as a jellyfish in the ocean. But the real sad thing is there's not one organic label which allows that my own nutrients can go back. Mm. Whatever it is, nature, progrès, Bioland, whatever, doesn't allow that my own nutrients can go back. We feel so terrible to be on this planet that we say it's only organic when we are not involved. I learned it when I was working in China for 2 years. It's still today, when you are in China, in the countryside, people expect you to stay till you use the toilet after dinner, because you're invited for dinner, not for stealing nutrients. So they want to get the nutrients back. And this is how they could build civilization for more than 6,000 years, because they always were able to process their materials back into cycles. Mm. Whereas we only steal stuff from farmers and we think it's organic when we are not involved. So it's more about guilt, and it has to do with our religion. Think about a city like Berlin wants to be climate neutral. How stupid. Think about you come home and said, I'm child neutral today. But for climate neutral, everybody says, hooray, climate neutral. Oh, we compensated our guilt somehow. Mm. How sick. It is because in all the monotheistic religions, it says you are evil. And for you, Nikolai, it might be true. And only God can redeem you. So you cannot be good. You can only be less bad. You can only minimize, reduce, avoid. This is all guilt language and guilt management. Look about a tree outside. Did you ever see a tree which is climate neutral? A tree is always good for the climate. So I want to be good for my children. But it starts with a stupid sustainability definition from the beginning. Yeah, to meet the needs of the present generation without compromising the needs of the future ones. And everybody takes it like a religious prayer. And said, yeah. But think about you come home and you tell children that you don't want to compromise their needs. Don't you want to be good for your children? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to support your children? Mm-hmm. So this is guilt management from the past. And we need to learn, it's not about minimizing our footprint. It's about celebrating our footprint and looking at a human being and said, how nice that you're here. Not could you be 10% less evil.
Wow. I love that. The thing what I wanted to tell you is actually one of the reasons I'm so excited about this whole sustainability topic is as well Cradle to Cradle, because this dream of a positive footprint is something which makes you wonder and not something which makes you like, oh fuck, we sometimes have to become now less evil. Yeah, it's really, really amazing. I love that. And it is a mindset change than what you are talking about.
So can we agree we are no motherfuckers, because there is no Mother Earth to fuck? Yeah, so we have a problem because we don't really do quality. Yeah, we have massive quality problems. Whatever you see around is amazingly primitive. It's not designed for 10 billion people. Mm. So can we agree that we need to reinvent all these things and that it's not about sustainability? If I ask you, how's your relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, would you say sustainable? Then I'm so sorry for you. It's like compostable. That's how it starts, the whole thing. No, true. Innovation is never sustainable, otherwise it would not be innovation. The mobile phone was not sustainable for the ones with stationary phones before. The washing machine was not sustainable for the ones who were washing the laundry in the river. They lost their jobs immediately. The steam engine was not sustainable for the ones who had horses before. So true innovation is not sustainable. It's guilt management. Think about, in Dutch it says duurzaam, so it says, oh, it lasts forever, and it's expensive. No, it's a different mindset. It's about quality. A product which becomes waste just has a quality problem, that's it. It's an innovation opportunity. A product which is toxic, it just has a quality problem, that's it. So it's about beauty. It's not beautiful when people cannot make a living with it. It's not beautiful when it's toxic. It's not beautiful when it kills the planet. So let's talk about beauty, quality, and innovation. Forget about sustainability. That was important to understand the past. It was important to deal with guilt, and somehow specifically Germans transformed their Nazi guilt into environmental guilt. Mm. Yeah, and then there are all these German tree huggers. Yeah, sure, they love trees. There's no other country which has so many songs and poems about trees than Germans. So, oh, Tannenbaum, yeah, and oh, whatever. Yeah, so, and this is, it definitely was important to understand the problems. And this Nazi guilt somehow gave the world 20 years extra, because the Germans did research on solar panels, yeah, 20 years earlier than anybody thought about it. They did research on windmills, which nobody did before, to use these really as energy sources. And this was because they projected the guilt from the dictatorship into the environment. And this is why sustainability was so good to learn about things through the past. But the future is not about sustainability, it's about beauty. It's about celebrating life on this planet, celebrating a human footprint, not minimizing damage.
And how does the celebration look like?
It means that you reinvent everything what is around you. Because do you really need a washing machine? No, we need clean clothes. Do you need a TV set? No, you need watching TV. So do you really need 4,360 different chemicals in a TV set? Mm. Or do you just need the service? Do you really need a solar panel? No, you need the service of using it. So with what we are doing, it means you are distinguishing between two spheres, the biosphere and the technosphere. Everything what gets consumed, like shoe soles, like tires, like flame retardants, brake pads, need to be designed for the biosphere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not make it a little less bad. Yeah? The tires now last twice as long than they did 30 years ago in Germany, but that means there are 470 different chemicals making tires. And before the rubber hits the road, it stayed there. Now you inhale it and it ends up in the oceans, because more than half of the microplastic is shoe abrasion and tire abrasion, which we find in rivers. And each oyster has at least 1,500 particles of microplastic in it. So we can fix the planet if we just eat enough oysters, so we can get all the plastic out of the ocean. But does that really help us?
You are, like when you talk about it, you have huge energy about it. Are you somehow mad on things happening here right now on this planet?
I'm not at all mad. I'm amazed how fast things are going on. And this helps because of your generation. Yeah, it's a selfie generation. For you, self-esteem, in be proud of yourself, being accepted in the social network is more relevant than money. And when you're, so you don't need ethics anymore, you don't need moral behavior, because 95% of us forget about moral habits under stress always, yeah? Including me. So I did some tests with my students in Rotterdam. When you're on a highway and you're switching lanes because you're late and you're in a hurry, you're causing 200 times more delay for the people behind you than you can gain. Yeah. But 70% of all the traffic jams in Netherlands are caused by people switching the lane. So, I can tell you, when I'm too late for my teaching in Rotterdam, I'm switching the lane. So I forget about ethics under stress. So don't make an ethical thing. When you understand it's a quality thing, then you understand even under stress, you need to do something for quality. The highest rate of speeding, yeah, reckless driving in Rotterdam, we have in front of kindergartens, because our children are not designed for the environment, for the industry. And so we drop them and we dash away because we're already too late. And we don't care about all these crawling children coming by because we are under stress. So people as an average drive twice as fast than it's allowed in front of kindergartens. The average person, not the stupid idiot. No, we are all stupid idiots under stress. So don't make it an ethical thing. So we think we are protecting the environment when we minimize a little bit damage. Yeah? So we said, please protect the environment. Use your towel another time. You see it in all the hotels. Or we said, oh, please protect the environment. Reduce your water consumption. Reduce your waste production. That's not protecting. It's only minimizing damage. It's like when I tell you, please beat your child only 5 times instead of 10 times. Mm-hmm. Are you protecting your child or your girlfriend, depends, or your boyfriend? So you're not protecting, you're only minimizing damage. And for that, we are too many. So I'm amazed, and this is because of this young generation who doesn't want to be stupid. These designers before were just beautifiers, yeah? Just make a little shape here, a little angle there. Mm-hmm. No, today they are designing the whole supply chain. They design whether it's a service product for the technosphere as a nutrient or was it a consumption product for the biosphere? They design it. We make designers and architects really important. They're no longer the slaves of some real estate speculation, because they design buildings where indoor air quality is better than outside air. Can you imagine right now? People are sealing buildings to save energy. They're sealing buildings instead of first asking what is healthy air in the building. So the indoor air quality is about 3 to 8 times worse than outside urban air. This is amazingly primitive. When you understand that, people are drinking Aperol Spritz. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, there are two chemicals in there which are proven carcinogens. Yeah. And people drink it. Okay, it's a nice way to get rid of toxic chemicals to drink it. But does it really make sense? So it's about innovation, quality, and beauty. And because of the young generation who doesn't need ethics, which we forget under stress, which just wants to be proud of what they are doing, Cradle to Cradle is now in every design school of this world. Yeah. Everywhere they're teaching it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My seminars are booked within minutes when I'm just putting them in the program in my university. So I'm quite optimistic. I didn't expect it. Normally it took 500 years till people understood that the Earth is not flat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It took 65 years till between the invention of a mobile phone and the accessibility for all of us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the internet took 55 years. We are amazingly fast. There are now more than 11,000 products already on the market, cradle to cradle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a little more knoodle to knoodle, because people just need a little label on top of it. But that doesn't matter. The community, the cradle to cradle community, tells each other and said, hey, wait a minute. This is more noodle to noodle or knoodle to knoodle. That's not cradle to cradle, actually. Mm-hmm. So, and they help each other, and they help each other with innovation. They make markets. There are now communities, cities who become cradle-to-cradle regions, where the one says, oh, I have carpets, you have toilet paper, I have paint, you have furniture. So they help each other, which allows that new startup companies can come up with innovation much faster. They can come up to scale at a much earlier level. So the highly capital-intensive beginning is much shorter. Mm-hmm. And this is endless opportunity for innovation. And because all what we see around us is amazingly stupid from an environmental and health perspective, yet there's so much to do.
And is your quest to help people who want to do this stuff, to educate them and to help them to get to your knowledge, or what is your quest and all of that?
Oh, I'm just there to inspire them. I'm just happy with giving them the backup of healthy stuff. But it's not only the healthy stuff, it's a role on this planet. Yeah? From being less bad, we are too many. Yeah? So, but like Madonna would say, I'm just happy to be your material boy. Yeah? So I can back you up with whatever need you need as a designer, as an architect, as a startup company. And I can give you ideas about what you can do, because the existing stuff is so primitive that you can easily start wherever you want to do so. Yeah. And everything what you do is so much better than it's on the market right now. Take, for example, this building. There are 300 additives in concrete being used. 200 of them are really nasty. Yeah. When I'm analyzing human milk, breast milk now for 31 years, there's not one sample which you could sell as drinking milk. And so why don't we make buildings which are designed for human milk? Yeah. So you can make a complete different thing. We are against sexual harassment, but why we are not against chemical harassment? Mm-hmm. Why should we always prove that it's dangerous, that it's toxic? I didn't ask for inhaling any type of fibers from insulation materials. Why should I? So you can start wherever you want in any area, and I can back you up with ideas, with product ideas, with market partners which can help you to scale it up much faster. Mm-hmm. And can help you with investors which just don't know what to do with their money anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and I can help you as well in just inspiring you. Yeah, so I can be just your cradle to cradle muse. Yeah. So and so I can support you in a way, if you're really serious, if you don't just playing games, if you're not just trying to be a little less bad. Guilt management, recycling of stupid stuff, that's not what I'm into. But overall, we need to do this. In the digital world, we will lose our whole industry here if we continue with that. Because in a digital world with 3D printing, and by the way, which is amazingly toxic from a fine dust problem. Mm. So be aware that you protect yourself when you use a 3D printer. The same, take laser printers out of your reach, because every page which you're printing is 2 billion particles of fine dust, and they migrate through your whole body. So inkjet printers are as good and even 20% less energy. So take them out of your reach, because otherwise you're poisoning yourself. I just saw somebody who died of a stroke with the age of 44, and his whole body was full of, he did home office and his whole body was filled with toner dust. And it's just sad, because this was the father of three little children who wanted to take care of the children at home. Mm. And he had in his bedroom, he put the laser printer on his left side on the desk, and he inhaled all the fine dust. So we can easily do things if you want to do, but we need to learn that we need to be much faster, because if, for example, nobody needs a robot, you only need the service of a robot. Mm. But I'm with BMW, and they buy 200 robots. But nobody needs a robot. You need welding points. Yeah? So you only need the service of the robot. When you buy it, you pay each reprogramming. Yeah? You pay each maintenance. But mm-hmm. why don't you just pay for using the robot? Yeah? So why do you pay for buying a window when you only need it looking through insurance and insulation? Then we can use far better materials. We can use buildings as material banks. And everybody basically can own these materials in that. Yeah? So it brings democracy back. Mm-hmm. But digital world otherwise will mean that people will copy these machines in 3 months. Yeah? And then the engineering companies here will compete with their own copy. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And the copy is not that good. So people even cannibalize their brand, because the copy will destroy the reputation of the brand. So we need to act now, and so this is why I'm so glad what you're doing, to mobilize people to come up with new ideas and do things, not just talking about it.
I was on the Forum Alpbach 2 weeks ago, yeah. And we met just amazing people. Chad Frischman was there from Project Drawdown. I don't know if you heard about that. Like, just so many amazing, smart people, all talking about, like, that the solutions are clear, that it's so, like, not simple, but that it's logical to go with the solutions, but still we don't change so fast. I mean, it's prayed since 30 years, right? You have been a part of Greenpeace, I read, and I think you preached it for a long, long time now already, or similar stuff maybe. Why does it take so long when so smart people and so much money is out there going into this market?
First of all, I was never preaching. I'm a chemist, and I'm just embarrassed to see how stupid and primitive things are. By the way, just for anybody who's planning to have a baby, I first can recommend it highly. Secondly, I can tell you breastfeeding is good, first of all, for the mother, because she can detoxify herself. Yeah? You lose one third of all your body load of pollutants just with one baby. So it's always good to have three babies. Yeah? But secondly, for the baby, even it's better than any Nestle milk powder, because the kidneys and the liver are not working in the baby's body for up to 9 months. Yeah, not longer than 9 months, because then the kidneys and liver are functioning, and then these pollutants get metabolized. Otherwise, they just flush through. They are not problematic. And for building an immune system, breastfeeding is much better than any Nestle milk powder, yeah. But not longer than 9 months, because then it's really chemical harassment for the baby. No esoteric habits of 2 years, 3 years of breastfeeding. This might be might be nice for the muscles, and she might enjoy that her nipples are stimulated. But for the baby, it's really terrible, because it's unhealthy.
I have a 1.5 year old, and he's breastfeeded still, so we have to stop that fast. Wow, that's crazy. So that is the power of data, right? Like, we all assume that, like, of course, breastfeeding, it's natural. People 4,000 years ago have done it, so it's good somehow. But
yeah, guys, the way it is, but maximum 9 months. The natural protection is amazing. Yeah, up to 9 months, you don't metabolize all these contaminants, all these PVC plasticizers, heavy metals, etc. They just go through your body. Yeah, the baby doesn't really pick them up. But after then, it's really the opposite. So you need to stop it then, because then it accumulates. And if you could just help you to talk to your girlfriend not to continue with breastfeeding, I think it was worth the whole effort here.
Cool. And the last question, maybe, or one of the last questions, where do you see the bottlenecks? Like, what is missing for scaling up cradle to cradle all over the world?
Oh, first of all, it's all these old people. Mm. Yeah, there is a net transfer from the household of the Federal Republic of Germany of 100 billion euros just to finance the retirement funds. Mm. This is ridiculous. When we introduced Social Security in Germany in 1893, the lifetime expectation was exactly half of what it is today. Mm. Yeah. The average time to enjoy retirement was less than 3 months, yeah, the average. Yeah. So if you would have the same percentage of people retiring than we had in 1893, then our retirement age would be 88.2 years. Yeah. So society was never that young, but these people declare themselves as old, and they worked for 30 years and then they expect to receive funding for 30 years. That doesn't work. Yeah. Mm. There's no society of the world can pay for people longer than 10 years not to do anything. So we need to give it up. We need to pay people as long as they're healthy and they're active, because our children need far more attention. Yeah, like people in Africa say, in Namibia, they said it takes a village to grow a baby, mm-hmm. a child, not just the parents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it needs a community. We need far more attention for our children, far more for our people who are ill, and far more of people who are mentally ill. Yeah. Alzheimer is not such a big disaster when you come from the soup and you somehow sliding back into the soup as well. Mm. But only when you have at least five people around you who take care of you. Otherwise, it's the worst you can imagine. People have fear endlessly. I was just doing an internship, and I can recommend it for you as well, in a place where people are taken care when they are mentally ill. Mm. Yeah, there are two people taking care of 150 for the whole night. Yeah, so they get some injections to be quiet. They are locked in their rooms. Yeah, but we lost our human dignity completely. And then we are stealing the money. Yeah, paying for the retirement, which from our day to day budget of our daily expenses. These 100 billion euros need to go into supporting innovation, supporting startups, because we need to be much faster. Otherwise, we know how to do it. For example, I worked for 24 years for a leather which is compostable. Can you imagine people use 40 grams of chromium to stabilize 1 kilogram of animal skin? This is perverse. 20% of the world chromium use goes into leather tanning. Now I have a perfect compostable vegetable tanning. But there is no tanning company in Germany anymore. So we know how to do it, but it doesn't work anymore. I analyzed a solar panel from Schüco, which is Europe's largest maker of windows. They have been manufacturing solar panels. The capacity of the solar panel after 19 years is still 93%. Mm-hmm. So the Chinese solar panel loses half of the capacity in the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. But because the Chinese solar panel is heavily subsidized, yeah, it's 40% cheaper at the beginning. But over 20 years, the Schüco solar panel would be 50% cheaper. Yeah, of when you look for harvesting photons, yeah, if you would look for the cost per kilowatt hour, yeah, mm-hmm. it would be much cheaper. But there's no solar industry anymore because there's no business model for that. So what I'm afraid is that we will lose our industrial capacity here quite fast when we are not really putting real money into innovation. And then we will be just a nice museum for India and China, which is a nice thing as well. But we will lose another 40 years. All these 40 years of blame and shame, environmental debate, now are a true innovation engine. And by the way, it's the only one, because we missed the boat for electronics, for nanotechnique, for genetic engineering, for because of good and bad reasons. Yeah, can you imagine how people call it breeding naturally? Yeah, when you do new seeds, yeah, they are bombarding it with radioactive cobalt, and they look what is the outcome. And they call it breeding, yeah? So then I would better intervene at the point where I know where the information is, but it cannot be like Monsanto, where the profit is private and the risk is socialized. That doesn't work. And it cannot be, the genetic engineering needs to be reversible. But overall, it's an elegant technology, really, to do something. But we lost it. There's no relevant. Nanotechnique doesn't exist anymore. Digital. Yeah, when you look for internet, we are 15 years behind what we call fast internet. I have a colleague from Korea, and every morning she looks like sitting as a rabbit in front of a snake because she thinks her computer is broken. Yeah, so she gets always shocked every morning, and she cannot stop it because in Korea, yeah, it means your computer is broken, but here it means fast internet. So, but when we combine digital thinking with environment and health, yeah, then we are leading, yeah, because we are losing 5 years of pine dust globally. So if we are now doing carpets which are actively cleaning the air, why should I use my lung to clean the air when a carpet can do so? Yeah, then it's true innovation, it's quality, it's beauty, and it doesn't compete with slave labor work from Bangladesh, yeah, because it's a true innovation.
There are so many topics and so many things like should be done. Where would you start? You know, we have a community of people. They have the power. They have like they have time, you know, they have the next 40, 30, 50 years to change things. What would be like the things you would do to start?
Oh, I would ask people to do things which they like, where they have passion about it. And because the existing stuff is so amazingly primitive, it's only a little less bad. If you take an IKEA catalog, for example, yeah, it's a Scandinavian company which has a foundation in the Netherlands to save taxes. Yeah, they still have 220 million IKEA catalogs every year, twice a year, each of them 300 grams of paper. 30 years ago, this catalog had about 90 dangerous chemicals, which don't allow composting. And that's not about blaming anybody, because since we started with printing, we used whatever worked. Cobalt, because it was nicely blue. Manganese, because it was green. white was lead. Yeah. So we learned about it. Today, an IKEA catalog, when it's printed in Europe, has 50 dangerous chemicals in it because of trade unions' legislation. We've reduced it from 90 to 50. But where's the difference whether you get shot 50 times or 90 times? Mm. Yeah, it's still, you invested a lot of cost, but it's just a little less bad. Yeah. So now we have paper which is designed for the Nazis, because we need to learn to love our enemies as well. Yeah. And these Nazis, paper right now is so toxic that you cannot compost it, and you cannot burn it in your fireplace, yeah, because it's toxic. Yeah. It's just a little less bad. But now I have my last book. It's the first book in human history which is designed for Nazis, because they like to burn books. Now they can burn them safely, because I choose all chemicals that you could compost it. Can you imagine what a change it is? Because now you can use all the paper products really for packaging, for food, etc., because all the printing and the additives in paper are designed for the biosphere. Mm. And you can use whatever it is. We just work with students on brake pads for bicycles. Yeah, amazingly toxic. Nobody thought about it. Oh, brake pads for cars. Yeah, you can imagine Volkswagen, Ford, they said, oh, we have brake pads free of asbestos. But I'm analyzing what is in there instead, and it's antimony. Antimony is as toxic as arsenic. So it's much more a stronger carcinogen than even than asbestos before. When I invite you for dinner and say, Nicola, it's free of chicken, that doesn't help you. Yeah, so you need to know what it is. You need to define what is in there. So whatever you want to do, you can take furniture. Now we see companies in Switzerland who are no longer selling furniture. They are selling healthy sitting insurance, so they can use far better materials. Mm. We see companies which are no longer selling carpets. They are selling floor packaging insurance. So you can use the best stuff, not the cheapest thinking stuff. And so whatever you see around you is so primitive, amazingly stupid. So whatever you do, you can now really reinvent all the things. So it's not reuse, reduce, recycle. No, it's about rethink, yeah, reinvent, redesign. Yeah? And that makes young people powerful. Yeah? But first of all, we need to come to a conditional income, which is you get paid as long as you work, either for the environment. We need a garden-based agriculture. The agriculture right now is losing between 11 and 30 tons of topsoil per hectare in a year. Mm. Yeah, and this is the place for carbon in it. Yeah? Mm. So we need a garden-based agriculture, which allows you meditation and urban agriculture, things like that as well. It's community building. We need far more social activities. And when we are really ill, we need far more help. And then we need to get paid, yeah, as well, unconditionally, when we are ill. But as long as we are healthy, we are active. Otherwise, people get declared as waste and they are shipped to Mallorca and they buy an apartment, yeah, or whatever, or they sit at home somewhere in eastern Germany without any infrastructure anymore. Mm. After 3 years of retirement, they only can talk to you about the nicest beach, yeah, the nicest golf course when they're rich. Yeah. Or they can talk about the best restaurant, the cheapest beer, wherever. But they have to vote for extremist, stupid parties because they are stupid. They're becoming extremist and stupid just by not being a part of society and information anymore. Yeah. So and then they have fear. And out of fear, people are not progressive. Yeah. And this is why the young people need to rebel and say, wait a minute, you are eating our lunch. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That cannot be the case. A 60-year-old person today has a biological age of a 40-year-old one 100 years ago. So how can you declare become retiring when you're not tired? Yeah? So no way. It's about, and young people need to speak up. What instead we do instead, we are delegating protesting to our children. Yeah? Isn't it nice? Yeah, any dictatorship always grabs the children when you cannot get the adults. Yeah. How can we have poor Greta protesting only because we don't do things? That's not fair. Yeah. Mm. So we steal their future and we steal their presence at the same time. How funny. Yeah. So we need to really reinvent all the things what we need to do right now and immediately, because otherwise we lose our industrial base and then we know what to do, but we don't know how to do it anymore because we don't have any industrial base anymore.
On the one hand, it sounds really inspiring. On the other hand, it sounds really like, all right, we have to get our shit together. So, thank you, Michael.
Und das war die heutige Folge bei Gründerreise Mittelstand. Wie immer findest du in den Shownotes die Links zum Unternehmen von unserem heutigen Gast. Wenn dir das Interview gefallen hat, dann helf mit durch ein Review oder Kommentar, dass der Podcast bekannter wird und noch mehr mutige Gründer wie du davon erfahren. Hast du Rückfragen oder Anregungen zum Podcast oder eine Empfehlung für ein Unternehmen, das wir unbedingt interviewen müssen? Dann bitte schreib Nikolai Grabert via LinkedIn oder E-Mail nikolai@gründerreisemittelstand.de. Danke, dass du heute dabei warst und bis zum nächsten Mal.